ONV presents.
Respect the game on three.
1, 2, 3, respect the game.
Hey, welcome to ONV Respect the Game podcast. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. We're here for another ship.
Hey.
We got another ship in Fort Wayne, and we got a great man coming in, working with our kids for a very long time. Blessed to have him in the audience. How you doing, Coach Adam?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. And congratulate to you and Canterbury and your community for bringing home another championship to Fort Wayne.
Thank you. Yeah. We are we're blessed, and it's still kind of sinking in.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. Like you said, you bring home another championship to Fort Wayne. We're not new to championships at Fort Wayne. We've had on, whether it's football or basketball, we've had different championship this year. So my thing is this. At Canterbury, I know soccer, girls basketball, volleyball. Mm-hmm. The fact that you coaching boys basketball, I know your predecessors, the guys that were there, and they were intentional about bringing in, you know, great talent and all that. The fact that you came over and you've got it done. First off, tell me, how long have you been at Canterbury?
Yeah, that's a good
and question. Then second of all, tell me, speak to that fact.
It's, you know, it's kind of a strange story because I've actually been at Canterbury for 22 years.
Wow.
I started there as a sixth grade coach, and I ran the after school program. And that for me was, amazing just to get into the building and start to know the kids and the families and kind of the Canterbury ways and just kind of work my way up, became an eighth grade coach, handled the eighth grade for about 15 years.
All basketball.
All basketball, okay. Correct. All basketball. And, you know, it was at that time that I was kind of starting to get interested in maybe coaching at the high school level. And there were some good coaches in place that I was not going to replace. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I stepped away and went up to Coldwater, Michigan and coached for a little while, and then came back to Canterbury 4 years ago. Actually, one of the young men that played for me in sixth grade mm-hmm. was the head coach for a couple of years. And he asked me to be on his staff, and I jumped at the chance just because I absolutely love him. And he got about midway through his second year, and we just kind of had a conversation after a game, and he said, you know, this is a lot, and I said, yeah, it is. If you want to do it right, it's an awful lot. And he had a young family, and at the time he decided that, you know, that family was going to take precedent, which I think is important for him. Right. And he told me that he was going to step away at the end of the season and wanted to know if I would be interested in taking the position. And I said, yeah, absolutely. You know, but I said, it's truthfully going to be up to the powers that be. And he said, well, I'm telling them that they need to give you this job.
Right.
And,
man, that's a blessing.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you're humbled. This is a young man that, you know, I coached and to hear him say that, made me feel pretty good. And I think it's, you know, to speak to what we've done this year, it's been a growing process, right? When I took over, and I'm not bashful about saying it, from day one, I said, I want to hang banners. I said, that's something that hadn't been done at Canterbury from the boys' side. We got 5 girls' championships. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, we've done it in soccer. We've done it in basketball. we've done, you know, we've had some individuals and individual sports do it. And I said, there's no reason we can't do it. We just have to buy in. And I think from that moment, you know, I had a good senior group my first year, and they set the tone. They set the tone for what we were going to be as a program. Yeah. And, you know, I can present a culture idea to you, but unless you buy in, unless you're willing to kind of sacrifice for one another and do those types of things, it's not going to work.
Yeah, we know, not trying to put you off, but we know that you had a tough journey this year as far as like Midway and with new people coming in on your program and to help your program to get to where you are today. Mm-hmm. You want to speak on that?
Tell us a little bit about that group. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hold up. Before you get off into that, okay. He says a tough journey. That's one of my questions. I was going to let you lead into the fact that I know you had some seniors coming back. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that you had, I call it a Christmas day. Jesus. You know, you wake up Christmas morning and there's all kind of presents underneath the tree.
Oh, yeah.
So what he's calling adversity, I'm calling Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, but go ahead and speak to that. Yeah.
You know, it's strangely enough, a little bit of both. You know, we had some young men that came over from Homestead. And, you know, they were in some stuff that they shouldn't have been into at Homestead. And, you know, it's unfortunate. That's a district that there's no questioning how they handle it. You're dismissed from school. You're moved out of school. And, you know, my thing is we're all human. We're going to make mistakes. And we're certainly going to make mistakes when we're 16, 17 years old. We're going to do some silly things. But how do we offer you another opportunity to prove who you really are and that, you know, it was a mistake. And that's honestly what we did at Canterbury is we sat down with these young men, and this was, you know, this was even prior to me talking to them from a coaching standpoint, but just the idea of how are you going to come into our community and be a positive influence on others? How are you going to provide, you know, that platform to work from? Then what message are you going to send to these other kids? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, all four of them have come in and been incredible. And I'm not talking about on the basketball court. I'm talking about being a part of the school community, getting involved in some of the groups that do some outreach, and they're incredible young men. And that was more important to me that they came in and humbled themselves and were committed to those things than, you know, than the basketball side of it. Because, you know, For three of those four, that basketball is going to stop bouncing at the high school level. It's done. It's not going to bounce at the college level for them. And now you have to show what basketball has done for you, the opportunities it's provided for you, the opportunities that we at Canterbury have provided for you in other ways. Okay. But to speak to JJ, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they came in with an awful big bow on them. I mean, they were a great present to have, but it's, you know, and that's the thing. We see a lot of that. There are kids that go school to school every year, and that's the thing. But people don't realize it's tougher than just putting four guys on the floor and plug and play. You got to mold them with the guys that you already have, because now their roles become different, and somebody might have to take a little bit of hit on their minutes to get this guy a few more minutes or so on and so forth. You both know as coaches. Sure. Yeah. So for me to have them, it took a few games, you know, we start out 2-7 and, you know, the last two of those nine that we play Lures and we lose to two Lures at their place. We're up 8 late. And then following that, we're at Blackhawk and we're up 16 on Blackhawk and they don't take a lead until 2 minutes left in the game. Now, I think that spoke to our lack of depth early on in those games, but we should have, you know, to me, those were wins without wins. Yeah. And then you add the talent level of these four guys that come in, and it was really more so their understanding of the game and how to play and how we wanted to play. And again, it took a couple games, but we got it rolling, and the rest is history.
Okay, so you talk about the guys being on your team and like the depth of your team. Like, how big was your team? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, we had 12 at the varsity level, and you know, we have some young guys that are talented. We had 8 seniors. I think you'd be hard pressed to go around and find any team in the state that had 8 seniors,
yeah.
let alone 12 in the program. So, you know, for me, it's those guys that maybe weren't getting as many minutes in the second part of the season that are younger guys that will be returning for me. It's those seniors setting again, those standards and those guidelines, and those precedents for those younger guys to learn from. And so when they come back, they're capable of maybe doing the same thing.
That's exactly right. I want you to be vulnerable and straight honest,
mm-hmm.
because to what she's talking about and everything that you've been talking about, you had 8 seniors coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You had expectations. You understand what goes into this. I know your basketball knowledge and everything. You had eight seniors. You in 1A. You had expectations.
Yeah.
And then we talk about what I talk about. You wake up and all of a sudden you got these Christmas presents under the tree that you weren't expecting. To win a championship, and again, people are that coaches that have been behind the curtain understand. There's a lot that goes into that to win a championship.
LeBron.
A, you have to have the talent.
Mm-hmm.
B, you have to have a coach that knows what he's doing. C, you have to have parents and the players and that buy-in. Mm-hmm. And then the other part is, yeah, just unexpected things. Because, you know, there's coaches that have been on the other side of that have gone in thinking they've got
all the keys,
all
and
the bells and whistles,
yeah.
And they kid decided they're going to this school over here. Yeah. They're gonna go to this prep school. Blah blah blah. A call here or there in the state run doesn't go your way. You know, all these things are factors. So I just want to ask you. I mean, again, with all that, be real with us and let us know what you was thinking when you.
Ching ching.
Yeah, no, I, you know, again, and I've never been accused of being very smart. And it probably, when I took the job and said, we're going to hang banners, that probably wasn't very smart, because I know I had some kids looking at me side-eyed like, this dude is crazy. Right. And, you know, but I knew we had the talent. And any coach will tell you that if you don't have a certain amount of talent, it's going to be tougher, right? I'm not saying you can't win, but it's going to be a tougher journey. And then that in turn is what falls back on the coach. You know, the one thing, and I've said this, and I owe it. I quite frankly owe it all to my father. My father was my high school coach, and he's forgotten more about the game than I'll ever know. And it's the idea that me just allowing these kids to do the things that they're capable of, and me just kind of plugging them into the spot where they can help us best.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all it was for me is let me step back and not try and be so controlling and so, you know, in control of every little move you're going to make. Just let you play a little bit, but have guidelines that we're going to work from. Mm-hmm. So you get the talent, you get some coaching, you get, you know, a couple breaks here and there. I think we had some, you know, I never want to demean anybody, but obviously we're not going to see the talent levels in 1A that we see during the regular season. I will put our schedule up against anybody in the state. Yeah. And I had a gentleman with the media in Indianapolis mention that to me about, you know, prior to playing Bethesda, oh, they've played a pretty tough schedule. You know, they played a lot of 4As. And I said, yes, they did play some 4As, but they're not 4As like we play 4As right. Or Wayne.
Right.
I said, they're not Northside.
Right.
They're not Wayne.
Right.
They're not New Haven.
Right.
you know, I said that I'm sorry.
That's cross side.
Yes, exactly. They're not.
They dropped us though. They got to be south side. They dropped it.
We got to get you back. But you know, and that's the thing. And I've never been apologetic about that either. I want to challenge ourselves, and I'm going to play the best. And if we got our tails kicked, we got our tails kicked. We're going to learn from it. We're going to grow from it. And I think this year we had that. You know, we lose 9 ball games. And I would say, you know, again, we start the season 2-7. Of those first 9 games, we played 6 teams that were ranked in their respective level, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4A. And so, you know, hey, that's okay. I can put my tail between my legs and go home and learn from it.
There you go.
I just want to real quick. There was a start at Canterbury. And me and you've been close, you know, back in the day. And remember this one star you guys had there. And me and you talked about it off the air, how Canterbury start being great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was one of the reason why. Can you?
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, I had an 8th grade class years back, and some folks will remember the name, but Austin Hatch was a part of it. There were, you know, in that class, I think I had 12 in that 8th grade class, and there were 4 of them that went on to play some type of collegiate sport. But I mean, it was just a tight knit, strong group. And you know, Austin was the clear leader. And he's the one that I look back and I talked with our guys about this this season about what is your legacy going to be? You had guys that started this for you and started this ball rolling. Now, yeah, they didn't win titles, but they started it rolling and got us to our first sectional titles, our first regional titles. They just kind of fell short at Semi-State. And I look back at Austin, and he and I still stay in contact. And, you know, he's a guy that started that ball rolling. And I brought Austin back a couple of years ago to talk to this group. And, you know, Austin's a guy that's a lot of people know his story. A lot of people don't know his story. He's a walking miracle.
Yes, he is.
Bingo.
He lost his entire family in a series of 2 plane crashes.
He survived a series of 2 plane crashes.
Yes, he did. So. Yes, he did. And you know, was in a coma for almost 4 months following his second crash. And they told him he'd never walk again. They told him, you know, that he was going to have lingering issues throughout his life. And he said, no, I'm not. and fought that. And he's an amazing testament to first and foremost belief in a higher power.
Yes.
And he will attest to that. And kind of getting teared up a little bit because I think about what he is. And when I brought him in to talk to our guys, I wanted our guys to understand and appreciate what they have, not only on a basketball court, but what they have each and every day to look forward to because, you know, he is someone that has had that taken away from him.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And to put it all in perspective, you know, basketball kind of goes out the window, but he's a guy I love and respect. And he's telling his story all across the United States and around the world today. And allowing people to hear his story and hear his message. And I'm better for knowing him.
Yeah.
I'm better for knowing him.
Likewise. I just wanted you to bring that out because it was very important that people need to know how miracles do happen and they come in form of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good guy and very much appreciative.
Oh, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Now you spoke of, you know, being a single A and, you know, expectations. But again, I go back to, again, not necessarily knowing, and there is skill and prep that goes in that, then there is some luck to like Blackhawk, they stepped up. They got to be 2A, yeah. you know. So, I mean, I've been at different schools where you might be 2A 1 year, 3A another. You don't know. Somebody yeah. dropping in, somebody dropping out. And when I talk about your predecessors, yeah, they thought they were going to do something, but they got to run in that juggernaut that's called Blackhawk Christian. Mm-hmm. yeah. You know, that's yeah. got a Mr. Basketball, yeah. Yeah. You know. So, you know, those are things that we can talk on. And then the other, you brought up your dad and you played for him. Tell the people out there, where did you play at? And, you know, your dad, and I know this, even through industrial leagues and things, yeah. your dad is instrumental in who you are yeah. and where you're at. So yeah. go ahead, it's time to brag on dad a little bit, but let yeah. the people know about where you come from.
He's, yeah, I grew up in Hillsdale, Michigan, and that's where my dad was my coach. And, you know, I moved to Indiana right before my junior year in high school. I moved to Cherubusco. My dad got a job transfer situation but so my junior and senior year, I didn't have my father as my coach, and it was just very different for me. And my transition was weird because I came into a community where no one knew me. I came into, a school system where kids have, you know, a smaller school system where kids have been together since they were in kindergarten, and I'm the new guy, and I'm just kind of thrust into that. And it was just kind of bizarre for me. And I begged my dad to go home. I begged my dad to go back to Hillsdale and live with my grandmother. Because it was just outside the norm for me. And, you know, my dad can be a very stern man. so much so that, you know, I don't know that after any game when I was in high school and he was coaching me, we rode home together. I would walk. I would walk the mile and a half before I would get in the car that's with him. And that's okay because it's made me who I am as a person first and foremost, and as a coach. And I'm glad he challenged me in the ways that he did. For me to be a part of this accomplishment with Canterbury is a full testament to him and what he's done for me. And he's, we haven't gotten together since that. We've talked on the phone, but he doesn't know it yet, but he's getting my medal.
All right. So that's awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. So
it's deserving.
That's yes, what I was going to say. Yes, well deserved.
He's, yeah. Without him, I'm not here.
Is this your first medal?
It is. It is. You know, I my sophomore year in high school, I played in a semi-state, in Michigan. And I've never been accused of being very smart. I thought for sure I was gonna walk through semi-state. We were gonna win a state title, and it was gonna be fantastic and wonderful. And then I ran into a gentleman named B.J. Armstrong from Birmingham Brother Rice, and. If anybody knows anything about BJ Armstrong, he beat my rear end up and down the floor and taught me a little bit about being a sophomore. And that's okay. It's a memory I have, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's again, it's one of those defining moments that teaches you a lot about who you are and how bad do you want it.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And again, look, I tell your pops, like, I apologize. I used to run you guys in the leagues. He's coaching him. I always thought you was just some Cherubusco folks. I didn't know the background. But again, I knew there was some competitive folks. And I did. I always appreciated that. And that's why I could bring you on and say that. Hey, big ups to you, Pops.
So what is the what's the future for Canterbury? What's going on?
You know, I think it's as bright as we want it to be. A lot of people will look at us and say, well, you know, next year is going to be really tough because we had 8 seniors. Right. But we got some guys, we got a couple juniors that because of the talent level we had, played at our JV level this year. And it was okay that they did because they're going to be good ball players. But my mentality has always been, what are you learning by just sitting on the end of the bench watching? Right. Probably not as much as you should be. So we need to get you on the floor and create an opportunity for you to grow and get better. Right. We had a young sophomore that started for us in the beginning of the season. And quite frankly, even when we added our pieces, if he wouldn't have gotten injured, he had an unfortunate thumb injury that set him back. He still would have started for us. And so we'll have him returning as a junior. We've got another young man, that's a returning junior that played some meaningful minutes early on in the season before our new guys joined, and he did yes, our presence. And when he competed at the JV level, he was at times dominant at the JV level. And that tells me he was probably ready to play minutes on the varsity. It was just going to be hard to get him minutes on the varsity. So I think we're in a good place. And I think something like this sets you up. At least I hope it sets you up for the future.
Yeah.
We have our pep rally last week, and we have our lower school kids there and our middle school kids there. And the big thing that I told them was, this is an opportunity for you to look at this and dream about the possibility of doing it yourself. And how does that drive you? How can we turn this into a productive piece for our lower school and middle school and draw interest in that position?
Was that where they announced like that y'all were state champs or at the pep
rally? Yeah. So it was really weird because, we have a 2-week spring break.
Oh, nice.
And
2 weeks.
So yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, cause folks got to fly off to Kropotkistan. So that our first week of spring break was prepping for the state final. And, you know, the funny thing is, and I said this to Dean Pantazzi, as a matter of fact, when he asked about it, he said, how do you navigate this 2 weeks, you know, with this time off because the NCAA was playing at Gainbridge? And I said, Dean, you can believe me or not believe me. But I said, when I put out our schedule in August last year, we had this week filled in for practices.
Ah. Good stuff.
I said, why, you know, and that's just me. That's part of me being, again, not very bright and
psych.
And two, part of me being intentional.
Yes.
I told him, I said, look, I'm going to suggest that you don't take that first week of spring break. I said, I want to spend it in Indianapolis. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
And that kind of sent the message to them. And I think it drove them. Yeah.
Hey, that's lovely. Then we're going to tie it back into you touched it on questions they were asking you down in Indianapolis, because now you got 2 weeks. I don't coach at Canterbury. I got tired of hearing about Bethesda Christian and how great they were and what they was going to do, and Canterbury didn't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did you use that as motivation? What did you think about that? I mean,
you know, we heard it.
Yeah.
We heard it. I think you know this, JJ, I don't want to, having been a part of the media for 27 years, I don't want to demean them, but let's be real. There's a little bit of a bias toward Indianapolis, right?
There's a bias
toward Indianapolis and the southern part of the state. And we were hearing that all year. You know, we knew where we stood in terms of our talent level, and we knew where we stood in terms of our capability. And again, playing the schedule that we played, and you know, all we heard all year, you know, Bar Reeve, you know, Evansville Christian. And I said, that's okay. Let them talk. I told our guys, I said, look, I don't care if they talk about us during the season. Mm-hmm. They're going to talk about us at the end of the season. And that's all that matters to me. And that's all that should matter to you.
Right.
And we heard it. We, you know, I won't go into the banquet because I thought there were some kind of somewhat disrespectful moments in the banquet towards our program.
Yeah.
But again, I talked to our guys about being above board and not worrying about those things. And I sensed in our guys at the banquet that they were kind of like, whoa, you know, something's not right here. And we got on a bus to head back to the hotel. And I just said, I want you to understand, use it as fuel.
Yeah.
Use it as fuel.
Yeah.
Because there's not one soul down here that thinks you can do this.
Yeah.
So now you show them otherwise.
Yeah.
Hey.
And that's just me being honest. And that's me being upfront. And again, not to be disrespectful to anybody.
Right.
But,
That's easy coaching.
Yeah.
That's easy coaching.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not at Canterbury. I felt disrespected.
Yeah.
And I was mad. When I called you guys, I told you, I'm down in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So I'm experiencing all that. Mm. So when I see his guys, they came out. They jumped on them. It was a wrap. hey, John Parent, I ain't gonna say had an out-of-body experience, but I know he was locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Fully focused. You talking about a double-double. Hitting every shot, rebounding. Mm. You know, Devin Lewis, who is one of, you know, I know he had him for 4 years as one of his main guys,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they were locked and loaded.
Yeah.
But I mean, what would you like to elaborate on that, Coach? Because like I said, I sat there, again, I took it personal, yeah. And yeah. I don't got nothing to do with it. Yeah. But I'm from Fort Wayne. Represented us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, again, and you know, and I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the things we talked about is, you know, we felt that we were representing not only Fort Wayne, we were representing all of Northeast Indiana and Northern Indiana, because again, I fought, you know, there are some biases and you're going to run into those in life and it's okay. You know, it's how you handle them. And you hit it on the head. I didn't have to say much. I'll be 100% honest. And I said very little before the game, you know, as a coach, and you've been there, and Mike, you've been there. It's this idea like, okay, I got to come up with the speech before this game. It's got, you know, I'm all in, and it's got, you know, it's got to cause a rumble and a roar, and they got to hear us out on the floor.
Nope.
I said, guys, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life to give this speech. Mm-hmm. And I said, all I'm going to tell you is that I love you. Go be us and we'll be all right. Mm-hmm. And that place exploded. And they knew that I trust them, and I didn't have to do anything but know that they were in the moment, like you said, and locked in. And I could tell looking in their eyes that they were ready to go. Yeah. They were ready to go.
Man, that's amazing things that, you know, we was talking about today. Wonderful accomplished to you and Canterbury and your community. We just like to thank you for coming on and being a great guest and a great young, great man that you are, you know, in them young people's lives, man. I know you personally. I know how you bring things to the table, and it's genuine.
Thank you.
I appreciate, you know, what you have done. Hey, that wraps up our day with Canterbury, the champions. 1A. Just want to leave you with this. May God continue to bless you as you are on your journey.
Back to game on three. 1, 2, 3, back to